I call Senate Resources Committee to order. Today is Friday, January 20th, 2023. Let the record reflect that it is 3 p.m. We're here in the Butrovich Room in Juneau. Senators present, Senator Scott Kawasaki, Matt Clayman, James Kaufman, co-chair Click Bishop, and myself, Kathy Giesel. Excused today from committee, Senators Dunbar and Willikowski. Thank you so much to Carrie Cooper Ryder, who is recording our recording secretary today, and helping us out on the audio is Kelsey Riker and Sydney Truitt. Thank you for your help. You make this meeting possible. Please take a moment to silence your cell phones here in the audience and at the table. Today we have one item on the agenda. We're going to hear from the University of Alaska about their recent land grant. I welcome three presenters today. In person, we have Mr. Chad Hutchinson. He's the Director of State Relations for the University of Alaska System, and Ms. Adrian Stolpe, University of Alaska Land Management Director. Online, we will have Mr. Andy Harrington, University of Alaska General Counsel's Office. So, welcome to the table, and please put yourself on the record, and we welcome your presentation. For those listening at home, the presentation is online, so you can access it there, and of course it'll be on the screen also.
Chair Giesel, before we begin, do we have Andy Harrington online via the telephone system?
He is not online via the telephone system yet.
Senator Chair Giesel, if we take a brief at ease to make sure that Mr. Harrington's there.
We'll take an at ease waiting for him. We're back on the record, and I see Mr. Andy Harrington is online via the phone system. Mr. Harrington, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Great. Well, welcome to the committee. Mr. Hutchinson.
Thank you, Chair Giesel and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Chad Hutchinson. I'm the UA State Director of Government Relations. A little bit of my background. I've been in this position. This is my third year. Before that, for 8 years, I was Senate Majority Counsel. And then before that, I was a trial attorney at a firm called Cook, Schuman & Gross Close in Fairbanks. I've experienced some state federal land management issues in the past. I was an advisor to the Citizen Advisory Commission on Federal Areas in numerous years, and that's just a brief part of my background.
Thank you, Chair Giesel and members of the committee. My name is Adrian Stolpe, Director of Land Management. I've been in this position for a little over a year. Before that, I was with Department of Natural Resources for a little over 5 years, 5 or 6 years. And with Department of Natural Resources, I was in the Realty Services section handling statehood entitlement issues and land conveyances. And before that, I was a master's student in geology at UAF.
Great, thank you. Mr. Harrington, would you put yourself on the record and introduce yourself for us?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Andy Harrington. I'm an Associate General Counsel with the University of Alaska. I've been in this position about 8 years. Before that, I was 4 years with the Department of Law. And before that, I was 28 years with the Alaska Legal Services Corporation. And I'm just here to answer questions in case the two youngsters in front of you have anything that they can't answer.
Thank you, Mr. Harrington. It's good to have that lifeline. Mr. Hutchinson.
Very good. So the first slide that we have here today is kind of an executive summary of what the current status is. And we'll talk more about some of the themes and provisions here as we go through the PowerPoint slide. So as many on this committee knows, the University of Alaska is the state's designated land grant institution. Its historical legacy goes back to 1862 in the Morrell Act, and it's important to understand the history at the time. That's right in the middle of the Civil War. There is enticements in order to get states to join the Union, so there's promises made about federal lands and their use in support of higher education. This is post 1848, after the Mexican-American War, where you have Western expansion, and they're looking at states going west. So that's an important kind of a historical context as you think about what was happening in 1862 and why these enticements were given to the states, particularly as there was a movement west. University of Alaska, unfortunately, of course, the state is purchased in 1867 as a territory, and in 1959 it becomes a state. The lands that were originally reserved do not come into being as we originally envisioned, and we do have a portion of our land grant, but that was unresolved for many, many decades, as we'll see, and it's just recently we've had some very exciting news. And a real important movement, and a lot of credit goes to President Pitney and the federal delegation and some of the good work that they just recently did. So we're very excited about this. It should be known that this is just a first step. This will not solve all of the university's budget issues. There's no doubt about that. In fact, this will be a multi-year process when it comes to monetization as we look at minerals, timber. We're in the conversation on carbon offsets, for example. But you can expect, if history is an indicator, you can expect litigation. You can expect time frames that may take it out many, many years. So I want to make sure that expectation is set at the very beginning, is that the lands will not be immediately monetized and all of our budget issues will be resolved. There is a multi-step process that still needs to occur. We're encouraged. That's the good news. But there's lots to be done still. So this is just for the folks at home. I know members of this committee are familiar with some of the maps that we will show, but I want to make sure that everyone understands the foundation upon which we're operating in. Only Delaware and Hawaii rank below Alaska as far as other land grants. Of course, there's a map that's got Alaska superimposed on the United States. We have a lot of land. We only received about 111,000 acres at this point in time, and the bulk of our the grant that we received, the 1,100,000 acres, is basically makes up the current holdings that we have, which is about 149,000 acres. And what's the difference where we make up the land difference between those two figures? It's received from state and municipal sources, private gifts, bequests, and just other acquisitions throughout the years. Here is a pie chart that shows our holdings. Right now, we have there's the missing 360,000 acres.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Cochran.
During the presentation or at the end?
Senator Klayman, I welcome questions. Yes.
Senator Klayman, a question?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. If Hawaii and Delaware are below Alaska, I'm just wondering how do states like Vermont and Rhode Island and New Hampshire that are pretty small land masses, how do they manage to get enough land to be ahead of us, or is it that there are some states that simply have no land grants at all, if you know?
Senator Klayman, I do not know enough about other states to know what land grants they do have, and maybe Mr. Harrington or Adrian, if you know that, I'd be happy to have them answer the question, or we can get back to you to ensure we get you a good answer. So,
Mr. Harrington, do you know the answer to Senator Klayman's question?
Yes, although I think Senator Klayman, through the chair, we have a table that we can send you that shows what the federal land grants are from state to state. You're absolutely correct. It is striking. Rhode Island got more acreage than Alaska did in its federal land grants. I guess the reasons for that are very historical and very complicated. But the lands that came through dedicated to the University of Alaska were so small in comparison to the amount of territory in Alaska and the amount of state land selections that there were, that just acre for acre, we rank behind everybody except those two states. I'll be happy to get the table to chat, and he can send that along, which gives a better picture.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Bishop, no question? All right.
So the slide that you see there is, you can see the investments that we have and the 137,000 acres that we currently have on the table to our going to the right. You can see how it equates as far as the investment class. 37% as it relates to sales and leases, commercial, waterfront, residential, et cetera. Forest resources, 23%, mining and materials, oil and gas. The purposes of the lands is to monetize and to get revenue to help the university ultimately. And so that is the presumption that President Pitney has held. And that is the idea that we think about when we think about why this is important to the university. We have 360,000 acres missing. That's true. But that now is in a process of rectifying that. And we're very pleased about that. And then you have educational acreage that makes up about 2% of our holdings, and that includes the campuses, the research sites, facilities, et cetera. Here's just a comparison chart. So you can see University of Texas versus the University of Alaska, 2.1 million acres. University of Texas, I think some of that has very much to do with its time and history as it's post 1836, as it was making its way towards becoming a state in the Union in the South. There was an interest in settling Texas, and you have 2.1 million acres as it relates to the University of Texas, what would become the University of Texas. There's the University of Alaska, and for comparison purposes, you can see the Mental Health Trust lands for $1 million and the revenue that it's generated. You can see in the grand scheme of things, you know, how much do we expect to make? You can certainly see what we've generated thus far. And then you're always hoping that, you know, Texas has $21.4 billion. I think we're a long, long way from that, but any bit helps. So here's a little bit of history, and part of this presentation is, if you like history, if you like legalese, you're going to like this presentation in many ways. But this touches on the Morrell Act, 1862. Of course, that's before Alaska is bought by Secretary Seward. The principles were the same, even though the act itself was not declared to extend to Alaska. But you can see that those principles were carried forward, and we've made good use of making sure we're raising that voice to ensure that we get the land grant at some point in time in the future. 1915, so here, that's only 2 years before UAF, by the way, is founded, 1917, as many have known. You can see that a lot of the acreage that was reserved is in the Tanana Valley. It is true that the interior was envisioned as kind of the epicenter for the university system as it existed at the time. And the lands were largely unsurveyed, and less than 5% were conveyed to the University of Alaska. So we go forward, 1929, now post-World War I, and we're in the end of the Roaring Twenties, and we Congress granted 100,000 acres for the UA. And that's most of our current holdings. And so we've been holding on to that for a long time. The state has tried creative ways over the years to try and rectify that. We'll talk about that. But the court system, for various different reasons, decided to go in a different direction. So that is, and now we go into statehood. And so we have 1959. The Alaska legislature tried to solve this. So this is the very first year of statehood. Passes both houses, but is vetoed. 1 million acres. That would have been different. But that was not successful. And tried again in 2000. They overrode the veto, and there was a grant of 260,000 acres. The Supreme Court had a decision in 2004, and there was a question about the dedicated funds clause of the Constitution, which we'll talk about in a little bit on the next slide. And whether or not it was the proceeds were an appropriation, they decided that the land conveyance wasn't an appropriation, but they did not decide the dedicated funds clause issue, which is later resolved in 2009. So in 2005, so this is post 2000, the conveyance in 2000, the 260,000 acres. They ended up identifying specific lands to be transferred to the university. There was, so Southeast Conference sues in 2007, so this is an environmental non-governmental organization. And basically said that the conveyance and the proceeds that the university would receive would violate the dedications clause of the Constitution. That's Article 9, Section 7. The Supreme Court in 2009 agrees, strikes down the legislation. So the state did everything they could, but they basically stated that there's a violation of the dedicated funds clause. And the only way that you can get around that is if the state was participating in a federal program. And that's important because that's essentially what was crafted by Senator Murkowski, Senator Sullivan, and Representative Pultola, and Representative Congressman Young, late Congressman Young, had a heavy voice, and there's no doubt about that. So that was the fix that the Alaska Supreme Court wanted to see, that it is true, we could get lands, but it has to be in participation of a federal program, and that's what's been crafted most recently. So in 2010, since that did not happen, in 2010, the lands began getting transferred back to the state. Now, modern history, and this is the exciting part, because a lot of work has been put into this. I know it's been a priority for President Pitney, and you can see there that things started to turn around. They create the program under the University of Alaska Fiscal Foundation Act, which basically sets it up with the Department of Interior and BLM. It was reintroduced in 2021. The state legislature at the time, many of you probably remember that it was supported by Senator Stevens. There was a bipartisan support supporting the federal delegation's effort. That coincides with what historically has been bipartisan support for the UA land grant issue from the state legislature for many decades. Representative Peltola announces her support in the House in 2022. The Senate incorporated the provisions, not necessarily the bill itself per se, but certainly the provisions were in the omnibus appropriations bill in 2022 at the end of the year. And a lot of credit goes to the federal delegation, in particular Senator Murkowski. She did a lot of the good work there. And so today we're at 149,000 acres, but for the first time in a long time, we have optimism about owning more. And we'll talk about some of the good efforts that have been happening with DNR so far, and some of the things that we're looking forward to and we're very optimistic about in the near future. So just really quickly, just what did the provisions of the Fiscal Foundation Act, the UA Fiscal Foundation Act, what do they do? This is the program I was speaking about. It just directs BLM to identify and convey available federal land in Alaska to support higher education. It permits BLM to acquire or purchase or the Department of Agriculture within the university's consent with the university-owned inholdings within the CSU, the conservation system units, and all the land should be done for equal value. Yes, Senator Giesen.
So, Mr. Hutchinson, does the university get to choose what land they want? Will they be given a menu to choose from?
Yes, Chair Giesel. We get to choose the lands from the state-selected federal lands. So that's our menu to choose from.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, Co-Chair Bishop.
I'd just like to make a comment on the previous page. You don't have to flip back, but SJR 8, I mean, just for those listening home, you probably think these resolutions don't have any force, but they do. They go to our delegation, they go to other members of Congress, they go to the president, and they do have weight. And here's an example of that right here.
Yeah. Yeah, and to add to that, that resolution was very important. And then the support of the governor's office, too. Governor Dunleavy did a good job, I think, of expressing the value. And that should also be pointed out on the record. So how long do we have to do this program as we think about going forward? 4 years, no later than 4 years. As far as that's what the communications with the state and the University of Alaska. No more than 500,000 acres, and then ultimately up to 360,000 acres will be conveyed and patented to the university. So we select more, but at the end of the day, 360,000 acres is what we're going to receive. So BLM is required to provide technical assistance. BLM should notify Congress about the land conveyed, and there's a written due process procedure when it comes to the land conveyances themselves that you can see on that slide. So, and then the final part is just establishing the framework framework for DNR and university to identify the 500,000 acres to be conveyed to the state. And BLM would be responsible for survey and selection work to help 360,000 acres that will ultimately be conveyed from the state to the university. So up to this point, right now, we are in progress, and this has been a multi-year process that we've been very encouraged about in anticipation for a bill passing at some point in time in the near future. But approximately 200,000 acres have been provided for, and there is a review process that's happening with DNR right now, so we're very pleased about that. And the acreage would ultimately be deducted from what the total entitlement is, and it's going to be managed by the university for the benefit of the students. And you know, we think about there's a high focus, and we're certainly involved in this conversation. We want to make sure there's workforce development. It's research, which the university in multiple areas right now is in cutting on the edge of just cutting edge research that's really optimistic about, and make sure that we're fulfilling our important mission of teaching these young people in the next generation, the workforce of Alaska. So with that, Adrian, if you can kind of give us the current status, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah. Pause for 1 moment, Senator Klayman.
In terms of these are state lands that the state has selected previously, and so the university is picking from within state land selections?
Yeah.
But they haven't yet been actually transferred to the state either, or the state actually has title to the lands?
Yes, thank you. Senator Klayman, through Chair Giesel, the lands have not been conveyed to the state, so they're in state-selected status, and I can expand a little bit on that from this slide. The university started identifying lands from this pool in 2019 and sending them over to DNR for review. About 200,000 acres, we whittled it down to 200,000 acres based on feedback from DNR. And now that 100,000 of that 200,000 is going through agency review. So it's being reviewed by Fish and Game, DOT, regional offices for leasing, permitting, those sorts of issues. The 360,000 acres will come out of the state's overall entitlement, which I think is important to note. So it's a piece of the entitlement that will be going to the university. And the remaining state selections is around 13 million acres of land that we're choosing from. These are predominantly in the interior. There's not very much coastal land left. There's not very much land available in Southeast Alaska, as you all may be aware. And so we're looking at mining resources, potential remote recreation cabin sites, materials if we can find them. And now we're expanding that search into what could be used for carbon sequestration offsets, carbon capture and underground storage. It's something that we hadn't thought about at the state when I was there. And they're really just starting to think about it now, and we're just starting to think about it now. So we're looking for ways to collaborate with researchers. What can we do to identify those and bring those in? We hope to be identifying around 150,000 to 200,000 a year to send over to BLM so that we have these continual batches going over, and we're not going to push it all to the end. And then we'll be hopefully working with colleagues at BLM to have the land conveyed in a hopefully timely manner. Thank you.
Very good. It's interesting that it comes out of the remaining state conveyance that I hadn't recognized. That's kind of a significant piece, yeah. Mm-hmm. Further questions?
Not a question, but I guess it sounds like no net loss to the what's still in federal control. State loses control, but the university gets some of that. Did I get that right?
Senator Klayman, through the chair, yes. No.
Good. All right. Anything else that you wanted to say today?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm really this is great. I'm looking forward to seeing how the university uses this and the value of the land. Certainly, the resources that are subsurface. That I'm glad you're doing that careful analysis. Yeah, mm-hmm. Cool. Any other comments, committee members? Comments, questions, anything? Senator Kaufman.
Thank you, through the chair. I just want to say I'm glad something moving on.
Representative Coffman through the chair. We appreciate that, and we look forward to giving updates as things progress, too, because I think that a lot of Alaska, all of Alaska, will be interested in some of the things that we're going to be doing.
Yes. Thank you for the history as well. Really illustrates how it's been a push-pull constantly for centuries, right? A century at least. Yeah.
Long time.
Yeah. Good. Well, thank you very much for the presentation. Mr. Harrington, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Nothing further except thank you, which has already been said. So thank you.
All right. Thanks very much. All right. Well, that concludes our meeting today. A brief one, but our next hearing is going to be on Monday, January 23rd at 3:30 p.m. We'll be hearing from the Department of Natural Resources about an update on about the assets on the North Slope. So at this time, the meeting is adjourned. Let the record reflect. The time is 3:56 p.m.